Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to First Christian Church, Disciples of Christ, Aiken, South Carolina. We are the loving church with Jesus at heart. And we have a visitor, Kathy. Welcome, Kathy. Would you like to tell us a little bit about yourself? Well, welcome. We're glad you're here. Welcome. We're glad you're here. Announcements. You have 2 more weeks to fill your blessing boxes with donations to honor the blessings in your life. On Sunday, February 16th, we will be collecting these boxes. These donations will be used by the Disciple of Christ Church Mission Fund to reach out to those in need around the world to help alleviate suffering all year long. Please put your name on your box so you will receive credit for your donation. Thank you. Super Bowl caring is today, and we have a football bowl. I'm gonna show it to you. They can't, they don't have eyes in the back of their head. But anyway, there's a football bowl. There's a football bowl in the fellowship hall. And if you would be gracious enough to put some money in there, we will send it to Golden Harvest, the food bank. DMF will meet on Saturday at 8 a.m. in the fellowship hall. Carrying is next Sunday. There's a sign-up in the Northrex for those who would like to help. And I would like to say an extra special thank you for Patty and Paul Wilson, who did all spaghetti and meatball dinner with a movie on Friday night. We're sorry if you missed it, because we had a good time. There was lot. Oh, and Buzzy too. Oh, Buzzy's always involved. I'm Buzzy. Okay. And so we enjoyed the movie. It was a good movie. We watched God's Not Dead 2. We watched God's Not Dead 1 about a month ago or so, 6 weeks ago, eight weeks ago. And it was just as good, if not better, than the first one. Are any other announcements? Yes, Paul.
Just like to say, these little get-togethers we have are not me. They're you. You guys come, Buddy comes and volunteers. He does so much. Patty does so much. Robin does so much. Everybody, they're a gift from God. So we want you to come and enjoy yourself. Don't think of it as my project. It's not. It's put on for you, and for your Lord's benefit, not for mine. Because the good Lord, He moves me, and sometimes I get into tension real quick. But thank you all for participating. And that's what it is. It's for you, not for me. So I want to thank everybody who come. It was gracious, and thank you.
Thank you, Paul. Any other announcements? If not, let's stand as we are able for the call to worship. And Kathy's inside of your front page of your bulletin. Blessings to God, who gives hope in the darkness of our lives.
Blessings to Jesus Christ, who reveals God's love unto the world.
Blessings to the Holy Spirit, who empowers us to be a light for others.
Blessings, honor, and glory to God, today and forever. Amen.
Amen. Please remain standing for our opening hymn, number 529, I'm So Glad Jesus Lifted Me.
I'm so glad.
great song to start us off. All right. Let us pray together. Dear God, we are so glad that you lifted us, each of us, and we're also glad to be here together to worship you. Be with us, let us feel your spirit, and renew us and strengthen us so that when we leave this place, we go with a lighter load and a purer heart. Hear us as we pray as you have taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We will continue our worship through our singing with hymn number 99, Oh How I Love Jesus, and we will sing that sitting down. Come now to our sharing of our joys and our concerns. Call attention on the bulletin the back. We have our ongoing prayer request and our continued prayer request. But today we also have on our list Sabrina Smith and Chuck and Ida Bassey. It's so good to see them both in church today. When I pull up and see that car, I always smile. And then on our joy and our thanks card, it's the ones who made the spaghetti dinner a success. And that was definitely a success. So, and the spaghetti and meatballs, the meatball part was really, really good. But several of y'all have asked me about Dr. Howe, the man that sits in the back. And it's taken me up until this week to finally get him to call me back. But he had a stroke about 2 days after he was here four Sundays ago. But I knew something was wrong, but he had had a stroke, a mild stroke. He is at home, but it's affected his vision. And so he's not able to get out yet. But he said to thank y'all for caring about him and to keep him in your prayers, and that he will be back as soon as the doctor allows him to do that. I talked to Ernestine this morning, and she is going to the doctor today. Her cough is back. And then Susan said that Robin is sick. Yeah. And then I also got a call from Charlotte, and one of her students was murdered in Atlanta. And so she yesterday spent the day at the funeral, and the family had asked her to speak. So she asked that we remember the student. She didn't give me his name, but his family, and especially his girlfriend, is having a very hard time. And I told her we would also include her, because to lose a student and then speak at their funeral and then deal with the other students who have lost a friend. And then I also wanted to mention the town of Saluda, because they're dealing with the death of two of their athletes through that car accident. And the things I've read in the paper, that's such a small town, and everybody seems to know everybody else. So to lose two boys at one time, and then the brother of the one who died remains in the hospital. So we want to keep that whole town and that family in our prayers. And Judy and Jim are in Panama, so we want to keep continuing traveling mercies on them. And then Ed and I, and maybe Joey, we never know. We're leaving tomorrow for a week-long cruise, our first. So pray for us and the boat. So. And then the Joys, I saw that your daughter is on the dean's list. Didn't Carly Beth make the dean's list? So Carly Beth Wilson made the dean's list at Lander, her first semester. That's something to be quite proud of. So, and then a joy I had was just our fellowship hall has been full of life this week. Tuesday night we had a very well-attended family promise meeting. And it was just bustling with people and ideas. And then Friday night, y'all have already heard, we had the spaghetti dinner and the movie. And there was just life abounded in that room. So it was wonderful. So any other? Yes, Lisa.
So this is a joy concern prayer. Please help me. I'm taking the step to become a foster parent. I've attended the orientation. I'm going to go through fingerprinting. It's something that I've talked to with my mom and dad, something I've also talked to with Irene, and I shared it with the choir on Thursday as I ran out of here to go to the meeting for orientation. So if you guys can keep me in your thoughts and prayers, because, you know, when you're getting a foster child, you don't know what you're going to get. And I don't know what age, because I said 0 to 17. Because somebody's going to need love. It doesn't matter. There's
going to
be a child that needs love.
That's right. Well, good. That's a neat step. Okay.
I still need a dresser. If anybody has an extra dresser, I need a dresser.
Okay. All right. Let's pray together. Dear God, we give you thanks for the opportunity to worship here today with you, worship you with people that we love and care about. We give you thanks that we can name our heart's concerns, people that we know and people that we only read about in the paper, but yet whose lives touch ours and take us to our knees. Dear God, we pray especially for Hal today. We pray that you will continue your healing mercy in his life. Help him to feel the love of this church. Help us to be his church during this time of need. We pray for Ernestine. We pray for Eliza and Robin and Maxine. We thank you that Chuck and Ida are able to be here with us today, and we continue to ask you to continue your healing and strengthening power in their lives. Dear God, we pray for those who travel. We pray for Jim and Judy. We pray for me and Ed and Joey and all those that will be on the ship with us this week. And dear God, we pray for all those that have had their travel plans changed unexpectedly because of the world responds to the coronavirus crisis. We pray for people kept in quarantine after they come back from a trip. We pray for people in China and Asia and in our country and other countries who are affected by this virus. We pray that your hand will intervene. And we thank you for the actions of the Chinese government for quarantining cities and trying their best to put a hold on the spread of this disease. Dear God, our hearts hurt for the town of Saluda as they buried two of their young athletes yesterday. We pray for their families. We pray for their teammates. We pray for all who loved them and knew them and were affected by their death. We pray for Charlotte and for the situation that she is in with her student. We pray for his family and his girlfriend and for his teammates and for Charlotte and his other teachers that cared about him. We give you thanks for Kathy today that you have pointed her to us to worship with us. And for that, we give you thanks. Dear God, we pray for Lisa as she goes through the foster care application process. We ask your blessing on her and on the love that she has to give a child. And dear God, we pray for all the children in foster care, children in situations beyond their control, who, as she put it, does need love. They need love and direction and support. Dear God, be with us as we worship you during this time. Continue to help us feel you through the songs we sing, the scriptures that we hear, the communion that we share. And when this service is over, bless each of us and take us safely to our next stage, next step in our day. Thank you for all the things you've done for us. Our communion hymn for the month of February is hymn 384, Here at Thy Table, Lord. In a little while in the sermon, we will be talking about when Jesus fed the multitude, and yet now he comes to feed us, and we come to partake. So stand if you are able and sing 384. If you're not able to stand, please sing anyway. Here at Thy Table, Lord. Thank you. You may be seated. And now let us recall that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body that is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Hear now the prayer for the bread.
Creator God, we glimpse your power and majesty in the beauty of the winter skies. We glimpse your providence and care in our rich land. We glimpse your creativity and promise in the face of a newborn child. But it's when we come to this table and break this bread that we see what is most special, your self-sacrificing love for us, your children. Thank you that your love is revealed to us in breaking bread. Amen.
Body of Christ broken for you. In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." A prayer for the cup.
Almighty Father, we rejoice in the wonderful blessings that we receive from you. Our lives are continuously filled with your love, even when we don't deserve it. We come asking you for your forgiveness for the times when we have failed to love others as you have loved us. As we drink of the cup, may we go forth knowing that we are forgiven and accepted through the power of the one who first loved us. Amen.
The blood of Christ shed for you. Today we have the opportunity to give twice, our regular offering and then our Super Bowl offering at the end. And may God bless you as a giver. Gracious God, we offer you these gifts, freely and gladly given. We ask your blessing on them and on our use of them. We ask your blessing also on those who gave. In Christ's holy name we pray. Amen. Now, please stand if you're able and sing with the doxology.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise you.
Thank you. You may be seated.
Today's scripture reading is from John 6. It's page 1086 in the Pew Bible. Jesus feeds the 5,000. Sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, that is, the Sea of Tiberias, and a great crowd of people followed him, because they saw the miraculous signs he had performed on the sick. Then Jesus went up on a mountainside and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover fast was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, "8 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each one to have a bite." Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish, but how far will they go among so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down," There is plenty of grass in that place. And the men sat down, about 5,000 of them. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they had all had enough to eat, he said to the disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. After the people saw the miraculous sign that Jesus did, they began to say, "Surely this is the prophet who is to come into the world." Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to a mountain by himself. God bless this reading of the word. Thank you.
Thank you, Paula. Give these right here so they don't go on the boat with me. I know we got a lot of cooks in the house, and I know there's some recipes when you're making a batter and you have wet ingredients in one bowl and dry ingredients in the other and a bowl in the middle, you're told to mix them in alternately. And usually it says starting and ending with one or the other. Now, one of my favorite recipes, it always starts and ends with the flour, and you put pumpkin in the middle. And I'm always asking myself, does this batter really know whether I'm putting in flour or pumpkin? But I always do it because I don't want to take a chance that it might not turn out. Well, a few weeks ago, when I was deciding to do a story series, I thought about that batter situation of one and the other. And so I alternated between, like last week we had an Old Testament story, and next week we'll have an Old Testament story. So I put Old Testament, New Testament, Old Testament, New Testament, beginning and ending with the Old Testament. Then this week when I was working on this scripture, I thought, what a wonderful story that would have been for Carrion Day. But that's next week. But I decided I didn't want to mess up the recipe, so I've stuck with the schedule, and we're sticking with this feeding story this week, and then we'll enjoy carrion next week. And hopefully we'll have a multitude to feed. At the time of this story, two things were happening in Jesus' ministry. First, his popularity had grown, and people were following him more and more and more, and so large numbers were coming, and they were causing Jesus, just like he did at the end of this scripture, to have to pull away for a while, to take some time out, to stay on his mission. Secondly, the public sentiment, as it did in this story, were beginning to see his power, and either they were afraid of it and they wanted to limit it, or they wanted to capitalize on it and get him to use his power for their agenda. Neither one of those were part of what Jesus was here for. And this story today is a turning point where Jesus clearly stays very content with what he has been sent to earth to do, to be God incarnate, the living, walking, breathing human revelation of God to a people who seek him, and to teach us and them how to live and how to love the way God intended. And the people were seeking him, both because of what he was teaching, because what he was teaching made them think. It was contrary to what they had been taught before. They were loving people they had been taught not to love and doing things on days they'd been taught not to do it. And they didn't know enough. They wanted to hear more. And also they wanted to come because of what he was doing, namely healing people. So our story today begins with a large crowd. And you need to know that this crowd was uninvited. There weren't signs up like, "Jesus is coming, come and see him." There weren't revival signs or church bulletins calling people. These people were coming out of their own curiosity and out of their own interest to experience Jesus for themselves. Hold on to that thought. They were coming not because somebody had begged them to, They were coming because they had either seen or heard of the power of Jesus, and they wanted to be it there for themselves. At some point, Jesus realized that the growing crowd would soon be hungry. Now, the scripture tells us that Jesus tested his disciples to see how they would respond to the need. I never have liked that word, tested, but I do like the fact that Jesus involved his disciples to see how they would respond to the need around them. Now, the two disciples that we heard today were Philip and Andrew. Philip was very pragmatic. He seemed very much to focus on the question that Jesus asked, rather than look at what does the question really mean. Jesus asked, "Where can we buy bread to feed all these people?" Now, Philip jumped over the "where can we buy bread" and started answering the "how in the world can we buy bread?" Something that he also quickly assessed to be impossible, because it would take 8 months of his salary or anybody's salary to feed them one meal. Now, 8 months of your salary is a lot of money no matter what salary you have. Plus, to give Philip credit, he knew that that really would only be one little bit. It wouldn't solve a larger problem. It would give them one meal. It wouldn't have mattered to him if there had been a bakery across the field that he could have gone to and got the bread. He knew right from the get-go that it didn't matter. They couldn't afford it. It wasn't going to work. This was impossible. And he did what a lot of church folks still do today. His first and only response was how much it would cost and why, because of the cost, we could not do it. He also let one word in Jesus' question by guide him or box him in as to how he was going to answer it. Now, Andrew was less bound by the question Jesus asked, or he might have had the benefit, you know, sometimes it pays to come second, and he might have had the benefit of listening to that exchange between Philip and Jesus. So Andrew was thinking beyond what they didn't have, which was money and food, and more focused on what the need was. He saw a multitude of hungry people, and he knew that Jesus wanted to feed them. He found a young boy with a very meager lunch, 5 barley cakes and 2 small fish. One of the commentaries I read said those fish were probably more like sardines packed for a snack, not some big trout that might serve several people. And barley was the cheapest grain you could get at that time, so this was not a fancy lunch. This was very, very meager. But Andrew took the resource to Jesus. And yet, even in his faith, he second-guessed his own hopefulness by saying, "Look what I have, but what are these to this big deal?" But either way, he didn't stop. He took the lunch to Jesus. And then we see Jesus at work. Now, I have to confess, I don't often preach from these familiar stories because they seem so familiar and they seem a little bit scary to me. And plus, the times I have read this story, I've always focused on the result. All those baskets of leftover food, and what a miracle that was. But today, this week, I've been slowed down, and I've been glad that I've made myself study this story. Rather than look at the result, I want to look with us together at the process. What took place that actually made the feeding possible? The first thing that Jesus did was to accept the resource that Andrew brought, because Jesus knew, as meager as it looked to Andrew, Jesus knew for him it was adequate. In fact, it was going to be more than adequate. It's important for us as disciples to not skip that part, because Jesus didn't say, "Is that all you found?" Or, "How do you think this is going to help?" No, Jesus said, "Yes, he took it." He knew it would work. So there's several different things I want you to hold on as we're talking. One was why the people came, and the other one was this, that it was going to be enough. The second thing that Jesus did was to reveal his own practical wisdom. He said to them, have the people sit down. That seems like such a small step, but wow, what a difference it made. This multitude, Jesus saw people coming, meaning they weren't just the ones that were there, they were still coming. And you know, if you've ever seen a crowd gather for something that they wanted, then you've seen a hungry crowd gather and they knew they had a little tiny bit of food up at the front, everybody was going to rush to the front. And Jesus knew if he could just get them to sit down, he had enough. So Jesus did. He knew that his resources, if people would let him do what he needed to do, they would get what they needed. Have the people sit down. I was taught a long time ago in my pastoral care classes that when you're talking to someone, if they come to see you or if you're seeing them in the hospital, have them sit down and me sit down. That people, when they come to talk to somebody, if you're sitting down with them, they feel like you are interested in what they're doing. You want to hear what they're saying, and you're not looking at your watch thinking, where am I going to go next? Have the people sit down. Then as Jesus took the boys' lunch into his hands, not just human hands, but his hands were also divine hands, and he gave thanks. Do these words sound familiar to you? I quote, then Jesus took the bread, and having given thanks, gave it to those who were seated. I was struck by the similarity of both the process of those words, of how he got ready to feed a multitude, and those same words that later, that we say week after week after week, that Jesus said to his disciples the last time he was going to eat with them. He took the bread in his hands and gave thanks. To me, that is so deep, I don't even have the words to try to preach about that. Jesus, the Son of God, holding it in his hands and pausing to give thanks. Now, if Jesus was leading by example by doing what was so ingrained in his being, then we need to pause and give thanks before we take, as we take anything into our hands, to try to do anything with it. As I was working on this, I was walking around at my house, and I have a poster that I bought from my neighbor who moved, and I was very sad about that. But her poster, I have it now hanging in my kitchen, and her poster says, now my poster, it says, in happy moments, praise God. In difficult moments, seek God. In quiet moments, worship God. Every moment, thank God. So after giving thanks, Jesus, holding the bread and then later the fish in his hands, begins to break it into pieces and as the disciples serve it. And as long as there was need, he kept breaking. So the miracle is not the 12 baskets that got left over. The miracle is Jesus taking what someone offered, meager but adequate, into his hands and breaking them and breaking them and breaking them. Now, for a small little church like us, that to me is a powerful story. We don't have to be big to be used by God. We don't have to be rich to be used by God. We just have to be willing to be used by God. So I ask you along the way to remember a couple of things, or I meant to and I might not have, but I'm going to remind you four things back. The first was that the crowd that gathered, they weren't invited. They didn't have to get begged to come. They came because they saw something in someone or heard something or watched something and they wanted to be part of it. We First Christian Church Aiken don't have to beg people to come. There are people like Kathy driving by who see our sign and God says, go in. There's also people watching me and watching you that live with you, work with you, socialize with you. They are hungry for what Jesus has and they're looking to see if you have it. Because if you have it, they're going to follow you. Whether they come here or go to another church, they want to go somewhere for Christ. Second, don't be like Philip. Don't get boxed in by the question. Don't hear what you think it means and try to give the right answer, or don't get boxed in by the question and only think that ministry is about money, because ministry is not about money. The third thing was Andrew's sense of hope. Be willing to think outside the box. Be willing to look like, what do we have here? Remember last week in Abraham and Sarah's story, the angel told them, nothing is impossible with God. We have people to feed, friends. We have people that need food, God's food, spiritual food. Today we're actually giving money to help people who need earthly food, and I hope that you will give as you leave. Speak up. Nothing is impossible with God. You know our needs. You know the needs of the community that we serve. If you see a resource or if you have a resource, speak up. Bring it to Christ and let us put it in Christ's hands. And the last one is have the people sit down. Friday night, a bunch of us gathered on a very rainy night. We were driving from Columbia, and Ed said, with this weather, if you have five people, that's going to be it. I never did a count, but it probably was closer to 20. We sat down. We ate spaghetti. We talked. And then later, we watched a movie. The movie was great, but to me, what captured me the most was sitting in that room with the rain pouring and being with people I love, with food I love, and having that together, sitting down. Church is about sitting down together. And here we sit and we worship. In Sunday school, we sit, DWF, the choir, there's crafting, there's the men's breakfast. There are places to come and sit down, one with the other, and grow. I'm so thankful for Paul and the work that he's doing to intentionally create monthly get-togethers for us, that we can come and sit down together and be fed by Christ's love. Now, you know, we don't know about this multitude of people. We don't know if they were coming there to be healed. And we don't even know if Jesus healed anybody that day. But what we do know is that he fed every single one of them until they could want no more. And then there was food left over. That is the church in action. We don't have limited resources. We have a Christ who can take what we bring and take us and bless it. Jesus said, I am the bread of heaven. Whoever comes to me will not be hungry. Let us pray. Dear God, I thank you for this story of old, a story recorded in all four Gospels so that we could be sure and get the message. Thank you for feeding that crowd. Thank you today for feeding us. And use us to feed others. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Our hymn of invitation for this month is I Want Jesus to Walk with Me. It's hymn 627. Please stand if you are able, and I will be standing at the front. want to thank everyone for coming today. While I'm gone this week and Jim is gone, Don has agreed to be the elder on call. And I believe his phone number is in the back of the bulletin. So if anything, I haven't been on a cruise ship, but I hear you don't be able to do phone calls. So y'all, but pray for me, and I'll be praying for you. Let me have the benediction then. Dear God, walk with us safely to our next place. Bring us all safely back next Sunday to worship you. Amen. Our going forth song is hymn number 439, God Dismiss Us With Your Blessing. We will sing both verses.